Sibilant, sibilant.
All right, the
sibilant.
Burp didn't get the the burp didn't get backed up though. Sorry. Talking Trek, where dad and daughter talk Trek. I'm your host, Bridget Kelly.
And I'm Bridget's dad. And this goes out to all you lovers out there. Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take you to Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama.
Come on, pretty mama.
Key Largo, Montego.
Montego.
Oh, man, I heard that song earlier this week, and it's going through my head.
Did you?
It can't get out of my head.
Oh, that's what's stuck in your head. Was that from the Space Force?
Space Force. That was my lead-in to Space Force trailer. I saw the Space Force trailer before you sent it to us. It was like, oh, my Lord, this looks so amazingly awesome. I can't wait.
Oh, the cast is stellar. What is this? Like, John? They got John Malkovich?
Yeah, I know. It's like come on. Let's explain it in case people aren't hip to all of our, you know, hip stuff.
Yeah, remember that time when the president, who shall not be named, said he wanted a space force? Well, the creators of The Office are making a show about a space force because that's where that exists in a comedy.
And it stars... Of all people,
Steve Carell.
Oh yeah, I love it.
He looks great. Yeah, Steve Carell. One of the guys from Veep is in it.
John Malkovich, Fred Willard.
Oh,
I saw
Fred Willard
in the trailer. So.
Yeah, that's just.
Yeah, it looks. Yeah, it stellar. It looks amazing, and I can't wait. You know, there are some things that I can wait for. And there are some things that I can't wait for. And this is one of the things that I really can't wait for. I have to have it now.
It has a very, like, a Coen Brothers comedy feel to it, I thought.
It may fall flat on its face.
It, like, felt like burn after reading.
Well, it can't be bad if Steve Carell's involved. Come on.
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't watched his other show that he has. It looks pretty good. You know what song's been stuck in my head?
Song?
What's inside your butthole? I really want to know what's inside your butthole.
That song I didn't listen to. I just...
Oh, you didn't listen to what I shared on Facebook?
Yes, I saw that, but I just... Today? I saw it and I went, nah, I'm not going down that road. So...
You really should. It's so cute. This little girl sang this butthole song for her mom. And, of course, the mom put it on Twitter like you do. And then all of these artists remixed it. And that's my favorite of the remixes. And it's just like, it really bops, you know. It's
What's inside your butthole? Okay. Well, that's good.
I really want to know.
I don't want to know either. So...
Anyway, what else is up, Dad?
Well, let's see. What else is new? I just got done listening to a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It was an interview with John Lester, who, if you don't know, John Lester is a trajectory Hall of Fame pitcher, if not one of the greatest pitchers that the Cubs have ever seen since maybe, I don't know, Fergie Jenkins or somebody like that. And Kerry Wood, at least. But, you know, these are all, I'm just dropping names just in case there's a Cubs fan out there who's going like, oh, yeah, you know, but the rest of you people have no clue who John Lester is. But look him up. Guy's got three World Series rings. Anyway, he is an amazing guy. And I listened to this hour long podcast. He rarely actually talks after a game. And I don't know if he's like still in a zone or he's such a quiet guy. But in this hour-long interview, he really opened up and he had a lot of things to say, and it was very interesting. He is the same age as your brother Jerry, and he's like really about 3 or 4 years away from retirement. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's not. Oh, you made it sound like he was like this long
no,
ago.
No, no. He's right now. He's right now. No, and he's still pitching for the Cubs. But, yeah. So I listened to this. He seems to be a really intense individual. And.
Oh, so was he talking about how much it.
That was part of it. He told a story. See, he, a couple of months after he started, got his first start in the major leagues as a pitcher, he was diagnosed with lymphoma. And it was just like, it was there goes his career, he thought. Because, you know, he just got to the show. And suddenly he's got to go in for chemo for 6 months and stuff like this. And he survived that, and he came back and became a really good pitcher. Well, shortly after that was all over with him, he met a young kid who was like 18, and he was in the minor leagues in the same organization. Lester was pitching for Boston. And Boston has a bunch of minor league teams. And this young kid was diagnosed with lymphoma at like 18. And he had just started pitching for one of the minor league teams that the, or not pitching, but playing for one of the minor league teams that Boston runs. So he met this kid and had a talk with him and his parents. And it was just a great story. And that kid is Anthony Rizzo.
That's my favorite Cub.
My favorite Cub.
Yes.
Oh, man. It was, oh, man.
I was like, this is starting to sound familiar.
I wanted to cry. It was such a great story.
I was going to say, I feel like you're getting choked up right now.
Is that Anthony?
I can see it. I can see it.
But, yeah, I mean, and they were like, they bonded way back then. That was probably... Oh, 12 or 13 years ago.
Yeah. It's a lesson to not get down when life hands you sour lemons, I guess.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Well, you know, both of these guys, you know, these guys fought through that and came up the other side. And now they are Cubs legends.
Yeah.
Just want to say legends.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking Trek legends. That would be Bridget and Eric. They are the talking Trek legends.
Bridget, are legend enough.
No, Bridget, I am retiring your number when this is over with. We're going to put it up on a flag. So there you go. So anyway, so that's what, you know, so that's what I've been doing. That's what I did this afternoon anyway. While I was cooking dinner, I was listening to that podcast. It was pretty good.
You were just having all the feels.
Yeah, I was. So you... Yeah. You've been auditioning, it would seem.
Yeah, I had a voiceover audition yesterday, so that was cool. I played a lot of aliens, so that was fun.
Oh, that's good. Oh, very, very talking Trekkie.
Very talking Trekkie. Well, yeah, I was supposed to say something about myself, and so I said that we have a podcast together.
That has been mentioned by another podcast.
I name dropped our podcast, and then I forgot to send it. So, you know, we're all learning here. You know,
you didn't send the podcast or you didn't send the audition?
I forgot to send the piece of the audition where I say I do a Star Trek podcast with my dad. So, you know, it's you're never too old to make mistakes.
Yes, you forgot. Right.
You just gotta pick yourself up by the bootstraps and
there you go.
Learn
you go.
Something and keep on keeping on like Anthony Rizzo. So
that's true.
Yep. Me forgetting something is comparable to
I forgot to ask, and we can cut this out, but did we mention Ben Childress last time? I don't remember. Maybe we did. I won't mention it this time.
Why do I know that name? I get it confused with the Vikings coach.
I know.
Wait, who is he again?
Oh, let's just drop it because we may have mentioned it last time. I do not remember.
No, but it's going to drive me crazy, so you better just...
Oh, no, it was the guy that died in late February. Who was in a bunch of Star Treks.
Yes, we did talk about it.
Okay.
Because I was like, because I remember that name as soon as you said
three,
it.
Three, two, one, cut.
whatever. They want all this.
They do. They want us to like be like so senile we can't remember what we did last episode.
I mean, that's our jam. That's what the people are coming here for. How are Bridget and Joe going to go off on a tangent and mess something up today?
Wait a minute. This episode is Year of Hell, right? Is that what we're doing?
No! Well, here's another thing we should have talked about before we started. Do you want to talk about the episode, or do you want to do our side discussion before we talk about the episode?
Well, let's talk about the episode.
Okay, and we'll just talk about our
and then we'll do the side discussion during.
Okay, during it. Great. For some reason, in my head, I just always pictured us talking about it first.
Well, do you want to talk about it first? That's the way I roll. How do you roll?
No. Let's, whatever. When it comes up, it comes up like it is right now. All right, listen, you came here. You didn't come here.
That's right.
To talk about us talking about the podcast.
That's true.
You came here to talk Trek.
That's right.
To be a talking a Trek.
So give us the 30-second synopsis.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Synopsis.
The synopsis.
So we did Phantasms as a little escape from all the quarantine bits.
Season 7.
Yeah, season 7. Episode
6.
All right, so we did Phantasms. Oh man, guys, if you haven't watched this, you gotta. It's so much fun. It's the episode where it starts, you're in Data's dream. Data's walking around and everything's like fisheye lens and it's creepy. And there's a phone ringing and there's these coal miners from the 1800s tearing apart the ship and mining the ship. And when they hear Data talk in a high frequency noise, they attack him and they pull him apart. And that's when you realize that Data's dreaming. And the rest of the episode is Data trying to, like, he has this is his first nightmare because he has this dream program that he downloaded like a few weeks back or something. He downloaded this dream program and he's able to dream now, and this is his first nightmare and he can't shake it. And Geordi can't help him. Geordi tries scan. All of his scans are perfectly, all his systems are operating. Troy tries to help him. Troy is like, you know, what you're going through is normal, but remember, you're not a human, so I don't know what to tell you. Troy can't help him. He goes and he has a second nightmare. He's in the mess hall and Worf is eating a cellular peptide cake, whatever that is. And then Crusher is drinking out of a straw that's in Riker's head. Oh my God, it's so creepy, right? And then to make matters worse, there's a cake. And Troy, it's a cake of Deanna Troy, but it's really Deanna's Troy's head. It's really her head coming out of the cake. And she's like, don't eat me, Data. And Data's like, I'm gonna eat your cake. And he cuts up the cake and she screams and that wakes him up again. So, ugh, that's the second nightmare. And then he's like, what's the deal? And that's when he has his first waking dream. So he's in the engineering room with Geordi and he's like, I'm not really doing a synopsis as usual. But anyway, he ends up having a waking dream and he's like having a knife and Geordi's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't know, I was dreaming. So then he goes back to bed and then he wakes up. Oh, and then Deanna Troi's walking around and Data stabs her shoulder in the same spot that he cut the piece of cake out of. Whoa! So anyway, so everyone's like, what's the deal? And so I love how it's not until Crusher is examining Deanna Troi where the she saves the day, right where Data stabbed Deanna. She's looking at that and she finds out that there's this like bug, this invisible bug on that spot. So it's like Data was trying to stab a bug. And then she realizes everybody has a bug. Picard, her, everyone. Riker has one in the same spot where the straw is coming out of. So Picard realizes, all right, let's hook Data up to the holodeck. We'll go inside his dream and we'll figure out what all this means. And I've skipped stuff, but it's fine. We'll go back to it. basically, they find out that Data's nightmare was Data's subconscious processing these bug things. And so they discover in this nightmare that Data has to put out an interphasic pulse in order to kill the coal miners or the bugs on everybody. And Data saves the day. That's the basic bare bones of the story, but we'll get into the nitty gritty now. Go.
First off, I did look up what a phantasm was.
Oh, good.
Because I think of phantasms as being more like phantoms.
Right.
And in fact, that is one definition. Apparitions. But the primary definition of a phantasm is a figment of one's imagination.
Ooh.
But are dreams part of your imagination? Because I'm not really quite sure about that as much as we were talking earlier, back and forth when we were getting ready for this episode. I sent you a couple stories. One was from NPR about dreams.
Uh-huh.
And NPR, National Proletariat Radio, was, or so they say.
National Public Radio.
Yes, your only true... You know, we need to have a sponsor for this episode. And I think our sponsor will be National Public Radio. Call your radio station now and pledge for $5 a month, $10
a month. $5
a month. You could get a tote bag. You could get a cup. You could get all kinds of stuff.
Or you can just donate to Real News
owned by us. Stop. People are gonna walk away just like they do when they hear a pledge drive.
The article.
The story on NPR, they were talking about dreams.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, people have been reporting all across America, the world, and ships at sea. People everywhere have been reporting strange dreams during this time of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And not only that, I've had strange dreams. Even had one last night. Crazy, vivid, strange.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want to talk about it. But everybody wants to talk about their dreams. Have you ever noticed how when people start talking about their dreams, your eyes roll back in the back of your head and you really want to tear your ears off of their sockets and walk away?
No, because I love telling people my dreams.
So therefore,
if anyone tells me, I am a good listener because I understand what it's like to be on the other side of it.
I think it's mostly
I have empathy.
People
and
love
I'm a good
telling.
Audience.
People love telling their dreams.
No,
they just don't want to listen to them.
Well, no, I have gotten to the point where if I do have a dream about somebody that's like not Eric, Eric's used to hearing me tell him all my dreams because I have crazy dreams every night anyway. So if it's somebody that I don't know that well, I will say, hey, are you one of those people that's like okay with hearing somebody's dream or is that like boring to you? And usually I get, well, was I doing something cool? And then I'll say, yes. And then they'll be like, all right, you can tell me what it is.
You were skydiving, man. You were so jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
So go ahead. But no, normally people hate it if you tell them your dreams.
Yeah, sometimes. Anyway, the point is that people have been having these crazy dreams. So they did this story about dreaming. And they talked to some doctor guy. You know, Harvard Medical School or someplace like that. I can't remember. But he was reputable because it's National Public Radio. And the guy was saying, well, yeah, dreams are basically your brain trying to sort out the day. You had so many experiences in the day. And dreams are a way of your brain categorizing things so that you have memories of them. If you don't dream, you don't remember. You don't, you know, make permanent connections.
It's funny you say that because Eric is always beating himself up for how bad of a memory he has. Like, we always play the, he's always like, oh, that one thing where the guy, and I'm just like, Eric, I just don't, like, he has a really bad memory as far as that stuff goes. And he almost never remembers his dreams.
Oh, well, so. You know, and they said the trick to remembering your dreams is trying to wake up in the middle of them.
Right. I've always been told that to keep a dream journal, you have to write
and that
your dream
helps
down
you
the
remember
second
it
you wake up.
When after you know after you do it right. after you know because if you don't like repeat it to yourself at least try to sort it out while you're laying there if like you wake yeah. up in the middle
or
of the night yeah like
try
you
to
wake
make
up
sense
in the middle of the
it.
Night and you go
yeah
man why was I on a trip with Alan Garfield to Japan was it. Wow, how did I get there? I've never been to Japan. But somehow you mixed all of these things together in some sort of gumbo, some sort of red beans and rice concoction that turned it into...
some sort of spicy sausage, you know,
and
or shrimp
and
involved.
Turned it into this tasty combination of dream sauce that you slurped up for the whole night long. And it turned into that.
Much like how Crusher slurped up Riker's
exactly,
brains.
Exactly. And
well, and also that article said that nightmares are because like your brain didn't get a chance to round out the edges. So like your brain was processing something and it didn't get a chance to process it fully. And that's like where like a nightmare can happen or why you can wake up and you
I
can
would,
feel it.
I would say that I actually had a nightmare last night. I haven't had an actual nightmare in years. I've had like crazy dreams and stupid dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was actually a nightmare. Someone was trying to kill
me.
And while defending myself, I accidentally killed them.
Oh, no.
And I felt so bad. It was like totally creeping me out.
Oh yeah.
That I did this. And when I woke up, I was like,
uh-huh.
I don't even know that I could do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I've had those dreams where I'm put in a place of kill or be killed. Yeah.
But we digress. So.
Yeah. Well, I was like. Now our listeners are like, all right, we got two closet serial killers here.
Yes, we do. So anyway, Data.
To that, I had, for the first time in a very long time, we watched the movie Midsommar.
I don't know.
Finally,
it.
A couple weeks ago, Midsommar. It was supposed to be like the scariest movie of last year, basically.
Oh, okay. Kind
and
of like,
we,
kind
Eric
of like,
and I finally watched
kind
it.
Kind of like The Ring?
Yeah, like The Ring.
Was it as scary as The Ring?
But I would say The Ring was scarier. Midsommar is more just like it's disturbing imagery.
Yeah.
And so I woke up not screaming, but a very loud gasp.
Wow.
And
that's
then I
crazy.
Immediately thought that, like, I actually did the movie, like in the movies when like people jolt up.
Or Data
I actually
did that.
Jolted.
Data did that, didn't he?
Yeah, Data did it.
Yeah,
I know he was always
like
Data.
Woo!
How did Data know to do that? But
I don't know. He's a robot.
Yeah. But have you ever had any like quarantine specific dreams?
Yes, I have actually. I have. I've got like several because I've been writing them down to have something to talk about in this episode because I do things for our listeners. Anyway. This is like a two-parter. I won't tell you about the part where somebody was chopping off someone else's thumbs. That was that was crazy. That was a crazy part. It was like you remember the stonecutters
in Simpsons?
Yeah.
We do.
It was kind of like I was at their dinner, but it was weird. No, there was I was standing on a street corner talking to this guy. And it kind of reminded me of your friend Adam. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, Adam.
Yeah. Shout out to Adam.
Shout out to Adam. We won't use your last name, of course. But Adam, you know who you are. Anyway, suddenly we were confronted by these two guys who like just jumped in on our conversation. And it's like, you know, they were being rude. And they said they were FBI agents.
Ooh.
And I went, like, do you have a badge? And I'm like, no, no, I don't have a badge. And I said, well, I'm an FBI agent too, and I don't have a badge either.
You're sassing the FBI?
I was sassing the FBI. Anyway, so long story short is I looked at one of the agents and I went, well, pleasure to meet you. And I stuck out my hand and I shook his hand. Uh-oh. And then I was like, oh, shit. I just shook this guy's hand. Mm-hmm. I need to wash my hands. And I'm like looking around and I'm going like, oh, shoot. And I look over my shoulder and there's this kind of like a Nocturne Alley hallway to one side. And I go down Nocturne Alley. Okay. And
looking
it was
for a
really
place
dark
to wash your
creepy.
Hands.
Yeah, looking for a place to wash my hands because I was like, oh no, I've got the virus. I'm going to die. And so, anyway, so I go down. I go down the way. I go down into the hall. And then I find the bathroom in Chamber of Secrets.
Oh.
There, and I walk in, and all of the faucets are running. And I'm going, oh.
Moaning sweet. Myrtle. The poltergeist. Did it.
Yes. Now I've got water. All I need is soap. And I find some soap and I start washing my hands and like they're just like bubbling all over the place. Bubble, bubble, bubble.
No.
And suddenly a crowd of like 1,000 people just rush into this bathroom all to wash their hands.
Oh no.
And they're all just like and I can't move. There's so many people in there. And the bubbles are going everywhere. And it's like that scene in Mr. Roberts when the laundry blew up and Ensign Pulver came out. You've probably never seen it, but you should.
Mr. Rogers?
Mr. Roberts. It's a World War II movie. You would love it. It's great. Henry Fonda, Jack Lemmon, Dick Powell. Sweet. There was mountains of lather everywhere. And I looked over at somebody and I said, wow. There's so much water in this place, you'd think we were Baptists. And that's when I woke up.
Like you were baptizing people?
Like we were being baptized, yes.
Or the religion.
or the religion. I don't know. It was something like that.
That's great. I love how it was also Harry Potter.
Well, yeah. And I didn't even mention the part where a guy rode by on a bicycle that had octagonal wheels.
That's a lot of specifics you remembered, honestly.
No. Seriously, I do remember that bicycle as being like looking at it going like, how the hell do you ride that damn thing?
My quarantine specific dream was just my friend Haley is having a baby. She's 6 months pregnant now. So I dreamt that I also had a baby. And the quarantine got lifted. So our babies finally got to meet each other.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet?
That is sweet.
That
tops me smoking cigars with Winston Churchill. that was another great dream that I had. Oh, man. He's a very nice guy.
Isn't that nice?
I like him.
I don't know. It might have been him. Never mind, I won't say it.
Winston Churchill? No, he seems to be a very nice man.
Anyway, I'll tell you later. All right, well, that's some great dream analysis. Clearly, yeah, that's what's so interesting is, yeah, the entire world is going through this. The parts that weren't already dealing with crap anyway. Obviously, there's parts of the world where they don't have water, you know, so it's like...
Yeah, washing your hands is terrible. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, but as far as, you know, most of the world is all doing this quarantine thing. It's, their lives have completely changed because of this. So, yeah, it's like a thing that we're all going through together. And here we are probably all having similar dreams. Isn't that insane? Millions of people are probably having similar dreams.
Yeah, they could be. But they aren't having dreams where they pull a telephone out of their belly button.
Wow, you got a lot of them. Well,
no, that's not me. That was Data.
oh, a telephone. Yeah, for some reason I pictured a pole, a telephone pole coming out of it.
A cell phone.
Yeah, they're two meme-worthy moments of this episode where Data opens up his belly and there's a telephone inside and there's a meme that says, like, the first Android phone.
That is terrible.
It's a meme, but our family anyway really likes the whole, this is when Data was worried about, you know, stabbing his cat, so Worf takes the cat,
right.
and Data tells Worf, make sure you tell my cat that he's a good cat and a pretty cat. And Worf just goes, I'll feed it.
And did you notice? Worf is allergic to cats because as he walked out the door, he started sneezing.
He sneezes. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Klingons don't have cats.
So there's a couple other things about this episode, and I kind of want to go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just skip back, and we'll, you know, we're just like a dream. This is a very disjointed episode. You just,
right.
just
you know?
Listen to...
You're like, I'm in my house, but it's not
exactly.
my house. I'm in the beginning of the Talkin' Trek episode, but it's not
the beginning. I'll tell you what. You listen to this. I'm talking to listeners. You listen to this just before bed or put it on your headphones and then go to sleep.
No. And... Dad, they're already asleep.
Oh,
come
yeah.
on. Don't
right
put
now.
Them to sleep.
Wait a
don't
minute.
Give them permission.
Wait a minute. They're asleep because we were talking about our dreams. There we go.
Yep.
I found it interesting that Picard would do anything to get away from this banquet, right?
What a great B story.
Yeah, I know. What a yeah.
That yeah, they're like Picard, you're coming to this event, right? And he's like, yeah, I'm coming. You know, it's just the warp core. Ooh, it's new. It's some problems.
Yeah, well, it just seemed to be very perfect for him because he couldn't go. You know, it's like, well,
Yeah, what a great storyline that to show like yeah, of course Picard would much rather be working than schmoozing. But also, did you catch that Picard that Patrick Stewart directed?
No,
the
I
episode?
Did not. No, I did not. I didn't catch that particular part.
Isn't that crazy?
I did like the fact that he was micromanaging everybody in engineering later on.
That
like,
too. Yeah, it was. I turned to Eric and I was, does this look familiar? Because Eric's had a few. Whoppers
yeah, well,
in
here's
his
the
day,
thing. Yeah,
so.
He was like every manager you wanted to kill. So yeah, so mm-hmm. that's kind of. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, he was like over. Was it Geordi or Data that finally had to say, "Dude, like,
can you just chill?
Like,
yeah,
just
was,
go.
Yeah, was,
like, we
yeah,
got
was,
this handled."
Yeah, Geordi. Geordi was felt uncomfortable by the girl that was like chasing him around.
That was weird. Yeah, this girl was crushing on Geordi.
Kind of like
and...
a reverse.
Geordi
that was like
was
a reverse Me Too, I think, is what it was. So,
no,
I was like, it wasn't it a was, Me Too. I wouldn't denigrate that with that, but it was.
Neither of them, that nobody did anything
he
about it.
He felt
it.
Uncomfortable.
It's just, yes, she,
he
did feel uncomfortable.
Did.
She was just, she had hearts in
yeah.
his eyes.
I do want to say, cats actually do sleep with their eyes open. I did some research. I didn't go get a cat
oh, yeah?
and watch it, but I did look it up.
But I do think that was an interesting observation that the Spot, the cat, was like kicking his feet in his dream.
But his eyes were open all the time.
Data was, what's he dreaming about? He's never chased a mouse. There are no bugs. Like, what could he be dreaming about? And... Yeah, what was Spot dreaming
probably
about?
Probably food and kitty litter. So there you go.
Probably running through the halls of the ship.
Which he's probably,
is probably
done
at some point.
Yeah. I do want to mention that it mm-hmm. was Isaac Asimov who came up with the concept of the positronic brain. A great science fiction writer of
yes.
the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, if not into the 80s, before he passed away. He wrote a number of books about robots, and he was the one that coined the concept of positronic brain, which was borrowed by Star Trek, and that's why Data has a positronic brain. So there you go.
Right, and they were wondering, does a positronic brain have an unconscious? Which I guess this episode was saying that
I'm not sure in all the robot books that I read, I'm not really sure if those robots had subconscious eye. I don't know if they did or not. I can't remember.
Yeah, this is saying that at least Data did.
Here's my note. I came to the conclusion. I really blew it last time when I talked about the size of a cubic centimeter It's really less than a cubic inch, so I'm sorry. Yes, this
are
is
you
a
doing
corrections corner.
Is that what you...
We should have done that at the end, I suppose, but we're doing it right now because I just now saw it in my notes. Anyway. After Data's waking dream... Oh, that we've already talked about that. Back to bed for Data. So they say, Data, you got to go back to bed. You got to go back to bed and dream some more because we got to figure out what's going on. And while they're talking to Data, I do want to point out that on the wall in Data's quarters was a Vermeer. Johannes Vermeer. Vermeer.
Gesundheit?
A Dutch painter from the 1600s, somewhere thereabouts.
Oh, yes, of course.
It was.
How could
I
forget?
And I looked it up. It was
not everyone's
woman
an art
holding
major,
a balance,
Dad.
Which I've totally seen before. And that's why I recognized it. I just want to point out that if you were like hip and cool, you would have seen a movie called Girl with a Pearl Earring.
Oh, I saw the beginning.
With Colin Firth.
Is it the same? Is it that
it's
same painter?
About Vermeer. About Colin Firth. Colin Firth is in it as Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett ScarJo.
And yeah.
She had a pearl earring.
She bears a striking resemblance to the girl in that painting. It's uncanny how much they look alike. They're not twins, but they're very close, and I think that's one of the reasons she got the job. But it's a really good movie.
Sure.
It's interesting. I liked it. It's not a chick flick, as a.
I only saw it when I was probably a teenager, and I wasn't interested. It didn't grab me per se.
It's slow.
But I was also a teenager, and a lot of smart stuff goes over.
Anyway, so I would recommend it.
I mean, no offense
to everybody. It doesn't have spaceships in it. Ooh, there was a.
Anyway, did this particular painting mean something to you? The balance, like,
yeah,
why would
I
Data
have
that
idea.
Painting?
I have no idea why he.
Were they trying to wink at us?
Oh, I think you know. Here's the thing. He also had a Mondrian right by his bed.
Yes, the Mondrian.
Piet Mondrian was also a Dutch painter. I think he was Dutch.
I want to say
he was Dutch. Well, yeah, it could be a Star Trek, Star Wars crossover. Could be. But maybe he just has a flair for Dutch painters. Maybe he just likes, you know.
Well, we know that Data loves paintings.
He does.
And
he
painting.
Does.
We've seen him make a mask in masks. We've seen him paint a girl who somebody made a robot off of.
There you go. There you go. That's true.
So, yeah, we know that like art is a passion of which how does an android have a passion? Did Data just pick something like a file in his memory banks of something to be interested in? Or do you think he really felt a connection with art?
I don't know. I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Do androids dream in electric sleep?
You're not the first person to ask.
It would seem they do. Anyway.
I'm surprised that wasn't mentioned in this.
Yeah, actually, I am surprised. But that's, you know.
But, you know, what was mentioned in this episode, which we should probably talk about before we end, is Freud.
Freud. He's a Freudensteiner. So there you go.
I did actually ask Eric a lot of questions because Eric, our GTSer, was a psychology major.
There you go.
So I took one psychology class in high school and I did not enjoy it. So I was like, okay, Freud was about the id and the ego. And there he is talking about the id and the ego. But Eric thought he was a great mocking of Freud. In the fact that he mentioned every time Data would say something, he'd be like, oh, that must be because of your parents.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, you must have had trauma with your parents. And he's like, I've never met my parents. Like, I'm an android. So that was pretty good. But he was saying that he thought, and I didn't look this up to make sure that my husband was correct. He was saying that, like, Jung was the one that popularized dream analysis. So maybe instead of seeing Freud, he should have seen Jung.
I don't know, I didn't look up, you know, if we had our GTSer, we could figure it out.
You know, you took a lot of philosophy in college, but did you take psychology ever?
Oh, I took psychology, like, yeah, basic, like in, oh no, I took it in high school. I don't think I took it in college. I was more in those kind of classes. I was more philosophy, theology.
Hey, do you
I
know
could
what?
tell you about the Brahman and the Atman, but not the
Hey,
id and the superego.
do you know what Freud said about the Irish?
No, I have no idea.
They're impervious to psychoanalysis.
Is that right? There you
Well, that was in the movie The Departed. I don't know if that's actually true.
go. We'll have to GTS that one. What do you think? So, there you go. What else do I have to say about this episode other than, yeah, his visits to Freud were pretty counterproductive, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I love how Troy is like, all right, Data, can you not go see him? Just come to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
But Troy wasn't being that helpful either.
well, no. Well, maybe I've never been to psychoanalysis, so maybe they aren't very helpful. I have no idea.
Well, I don't think early 20th century or whatever. I don't think that's very helpful. I would have told Data to go to 21st century psychologists rather. Yeah, I just don't think that Troy. But she did give a good advice as far as like sometimes a cake is just a
That's
cake. Like
true.
you don't
That's
need
true.
to make mountains out of all the moles.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
That's true. We don't really have to, we don't have to worry about everything that comes up in our lives, I guess.
Yeah, everything doesn't have to mean something.
Right. The only thing I'm,
Which I remind myself of every day.
well, and currently, well, besides everything else is going on, you can pile on top of it. And, as far as my worries are concerned, I mean, I worry about lots of things, but mostly I worry about whether or not the baseball season is ever going to start.
I
I
know.
know. I
I
know.
know.
It's just,
Just
it's tearing my heart out right now.
it's tearing up my heart. It's not like it'll be gone forever.
No, it won't be. But this one goes to all of you lovers out there. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, we already did that. Never mind.
Go Cubs, go Cubs,
Go,
go.
yep. Hey, Chicago,
Is that how
what
it
do you
goes?
say? The Cubs are gonna win today.
All right, Dad. Yeah,
I
I mean,
can't, Bridget,
do
I
you have
can't tell
anything
you how
else?
freaking awesome it is to sing that with 40,000 people. I gotta tell you right now, I gotta tell you right
You
now, that
know?
is the most awesome thing I think I've ever done besides bringing three children into the world. Yeah.
Listen,
I
I
helped.
okay.
I helped.
I love being with strangers who all know the Skull chant, the Vikings. I'll know the
There you go.
Vikings cheer.
There you go.
So I get
There you go.
you. I get
There you
you.
go. There you go. That's the way it is.
I
Yep.
know.
Oh, damn, I should have mentioned that. I lost.
Well, wall of quotes is definitely tell him he's a good cat, a pretty
Yes,
cat.
well, that's definitely Walt Clotes. For some reason, the scene when Data was stabbing Troy, it
Yeah.
totally reminded me of Norman Bates.
Yeah, he
Reet,
reet
reet,
reet
reet. He was
very
like
much.
totally
And he
reet,
like did
reet,
like the practically the
reet.
same
You think
movement.
that was direction or was that just like was he ad-libbing? I don't
I
know.
don't know. I don't know. But I think I mentioned this when I brought up the episode in the last episode. When I first saw this as a kid, that this episode scared me.
Oh, because Data was
Like
stabbing?
seeing Troy.
Oh.
Yes. Well, no, it was the seeing Troy as a cake.
Oh.
Like I thought was really scary as a
Yeah,
kid.
yeah, yeah. That is pretty scary. That's pretty scary.
Actually, it reminds me of another episode that I get this one confused with, which is which we should I should look up. Yeah, there's an episode where isn't there an episode where like Riker is or Troy were also going into their minds? Not mind frame, but there's another one where like Troy, like we go into Troy's brain or Picard's brain or something. I don't remember. Sorry.
You're
Sorry, everybody. I'll look it
thinking of
up,
that
but
Netflix show Lock and Key. Do they go into people's brains? No?
oh, I don't know
No.
that one.
No. That one's
Never mind. Cut this out.
well, it's a bad reference. Anyway.
Anyway, you got any others?
No, and in fact, nobody died in this episode.
No, it wasn't. It was a bottleneck
Yeah, it was a
episode.
bottle episode. So,
A bottle
yeah,
episode.
yeah.
It wasn't really a
Yeah,
bottleneck, but more
so
like.
since nobody died, I was like, oh man. Well, then who's my favorite red shirt? And so, you know, uh-huh. I was like looking around. And one of the most inconsequential red shirts of all. All this guy did was his only thing that he could do was run. He ran. Oh, somebody wants something. Oh, captain. He said captain. I think he said something like captain because he was running and he tripped over an exploding rock.
No, not an exploding rock.
Yeah, he tripped over an exploding rock. And he doesn't even have a first name. And he's not even an ensign. They just call him Mallory. So he's like, he's not crewman Mallory. He's not ensign Mallory. He's just Mallory.
Mallory.
And yeah, he tripped on an exploding rock on, get this, this is cool. The cool part is Gamma Trianguli 6. Now, Gamma Trianguli is a star in Triangulum, which is actually going to be in the night sky. It's near Perseus and in between the constellation of Perseus and Pegasus. Mm-hmm. And I looked this up. It's only 112 light years from Earth. So you know,
that much?
Yeah, we could like go there in a day or two.
Yeah.
You know, at like warp 9, shit, we could get there.
Sure.
And nothing flat. 112 light years.
As long
years,
as you have a
nothing.
Hole that can take it. Yeah.
Well, no. We got warp 9. Come on, man. We could do it. You know, we could do that real quick. So I nominate Mallory as our
right.
red shirt for this episode.
Let's salute.
Yeah, we'll salute, and then I'll talk about interesting Star Trek facts. Go.
Okay. You know what, everyone? Just...
We're taking stuff out of order. Here. Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, because we got a salute.
Well,
you know,
no,
raise a glass.
We got to follow my notes because my notes say
girl
with pearl
really
earring
is.
And next is red shirt.
We're trying to pay respects.
Pay respects.
Pay respects.
Mallory.
May he rest in peace.
Mallory.
All right.
There.
Okay. Respects have been paid.
I was cleaning the basement the other day, and I found a stack of Star Trek trading cards. Sweet.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. And I may even put a photo of one on Instagram. I should.
You should.
Star Trek trading cards from 1991. Sweet.
And are these the trading cards when we, like, made up that game, which was, like, one of the most fun childhood memories?
Yeah, I think.
We made up a game where we just put Star Trek cards down and then we just told
exactly,
a story.
Exactly,
yeah.
Basically. That was, yeah.
It's a good improv game.
It was a good improv game. Kirk meets a monster. Oh. Kirk gets beamed up. Oh, you know, yeah. We just did that. So that was a good, yeah, it was fun. It was, and I think I found that stack of cards of various
That's
things.
That's awesome.
So it was kind of cool. And the one card that I found was from Arena. That was like on the top of the deck. Yeah, it was cool. It was good. And I went, oh, Arena.
Check out our first episode, Talking Trek listeners, if you haven't.
Well, yeah, and I
the
compared that to the photos that we took when we were at Vasquez Rocks, and we were sitting right on the very spot that Kirk was being attacked by the Gorn. Yeah, it was awesome. It was completely awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, so there's that. That's an interesting Star Trek fact. What would Kirk do if he was having strange dreams? What do you think?
Ooh, I don't know.
Neither do I.
I mean, he would probably give Bones and Spock a bunch of crap.
Well...
Trying to make them just deal with it and get rid of it, because he doesn't have time to worry about dreams.
Yeah, you know, if he was having crazy dreams, I think he would probably think he was going insane and ask the doctor to, like, invert his body through the transporter or something.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's what
Definitely.
He would do? So you got to send me through the transporter again because these dreams, they love when I close my eyes.
I
every
can't
moment
take them.
I awake. No, that's a whole different song.
I can't take them, Bones.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Bones, I have a good meme for you.
A Bones meme?
A Bones meme.
Sweet.
It's a picture of Bones.
Yes.
And it says, Bones would have cured COVID-19 in one episode and still have time to be racist to Spock.
That is a good one. That
he's always like, he's always making fun of his pointy ears. Yeah, he is. It's terrible.
He is. It is terrible. That's a different time. They loved each other. They did. They did.
They did.
Good-natured ribbing. So, anyway.
Hey, Dad, what episode are we going to do next?
What episode are we going to do next? Well.
We are live, ladies and gentlemen.
So, but you know, there was one that I thought we should do that we never did. And that one was the one that I forgot. It was one.
We never did, so it must be one that we talk about a lot or reference a lot.
We've never actually done it. Oh, boy. Okay, Dad, what is our next episode?
Oh,
so I was thinking of episodes, and I've been watching a lot of different episodes recently, and I've been thinking about episodes that people really like.
Uh-huh.
And episodes that are fan favorites.
Uh-huh.
And one I thought, why have we never done this one? And get ready for it.
I'm ready. I'm so on the edge of my seat.
You're on the edge of your seat. I don't know what season, or I don't have that down yet. It could have been.
Maybe this one,
season
Dad.
Something. Maybe season something. Season two, episode 25. No, episode something. Star Trek, original series, The Trouble with Tribbles.
The Trouble with Tribbles. You're right. We've never actually done this one.
And you know what?
We did Trial and Tribulations, which I think we talked about the comparisons between the two.
Right.
But we've never done the full episode.
That's true. And yet, I think the only reason I went back to that recently was because you're familiar with these short treks. No.
Oh no! You said it's on CBS All Access.
Yeah, it's on CBS All Access.
They're like documentaries.
Yeah. No, they're not documentaries. They're like very short episodes that are side stories of the main episodes, and they're not full hour long. They're like maybe 20 minutes. And there was this.
What is it like? It's like deleted scenes.
No, it's not even deleted scenes. They're whole different scripts, and they're just little short.
Is it a cartoon?
No. Actually, one of them was a...
I'm just going to have to look at... Sorry, listeners. We don't need to play this guessing game. I'm just going to have to look it up.
Short treks. There was a couple of them on season two's DVD. Anyway, long story short is there's this one short trek about the guy who discovered Tribbles. And he discovered that they're very delicious.
Oh no!
Yeah. Once you get past the fur, anyway.
Wow, that's something that Bones didn't.
Yeah,
think
yeah.
Of. You can just eat.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty. It was a pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting little episode.
Yay! Well, that'll be fun. The Trouble with Tribbles. That's season 2, episode 15. Mm-hmm. Yay! That'll be good.
So that's really that's all I got. One. I had a couple other observations, but. We'll just leave them for the. Well, no,
Instagram.
No. I have right here the Talk and Trek notebook, and someday we'll go into the Smithsonian, and people will look at my notes and try to decipher them and find out the true meaning of life. You know, it's kind of like Bill and Ted, how they wrote that song. You know, someday they're going to look at this notebook and they're going to figure out that this was the blueprint for an entire civilization. So,
whoa.
Is right.
That was almost a missed opportunity.
Oh, I'm glad you caught on. So anyway.
Yeah. All right, Dad. What do you say we end this thing?
Make it so. Talk and Trek, has been a production of Talkin' Trek Podcasts. Bridget Kelly and her dad, all rights reserved. Special thanks to Ellen Garfield.
Make it so. It sounded like you were gonna do a song.
I'm stopping the recording right now.